So main roles and functions of the gut microbiome, right? So one of the first things to really understand is the role of the microbiome in immune development, because the vast majority of chronic conditions, even if they're not specifically immunological conditions like autoimmune disease or eczema, or psoriasis, or latent infections and things like that, if they're not specifically immunological, the immune system still plays a significant role in the pathogenesis of almost every chronic disease. So take dementia or Alzheimer's, or take Parkinson's, or take anxiety, depression. The immune system is playing a role in all of those, right? Take metabolic disease like cardiovascular disease, diabetes. The immune system and inflammation derived from the immune system is playing a significant role in all of those. Of course, all primary immune issues like autoimmune conditions and all that, the immune system is playing a very important role. So the immune system is a critically important system. It's the only system designed to protect the host, but it is a system that is completely dependent on the microbiome in order to function properly, right? So to understand this relationship and where the rubber hits the road and what is the ground zero of immune functionality as it relates to the microbiome, we have to talk about the mucosal barrier, right? So your digestive tract, your entire digestive tract, your entire respiratory tract, and your entire urogenital tract, which are basically all the ways in which things enter inside your body. Right? So your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, your urogenital tract, all of those are the ways that things generally enter your body. And all of those orifices and all of the tissues connected to those orifices are covered in a mucosal layer. Your mucosal system is almost 4,000 square feet of surface area inside your body, right? Think about that for a moment. If you had a house or an apartment or a condo that was 4,000 square feet, you'd be very happy because that's a very large home. You have all of that surface area inside your body as your mucosal tissue. And every square inch of that mucosal tissue is covered in microbes, right? The 40, 50 trillion or so microbes, most of them live in that mucosal tissue. That's also the area where your immune system is functioning all the time. So there's all of this interaction that's going on between this massive surface area of mucosal systems and the microbes that live there and the immune tissue that is adjacent to it, right? So this is where the rubber hits the road in how your immune system functions. Now, what is the role of the microbiome in that mucosal tissue, right? So the microbes in your microbiome, let's assume you have a healthy microbiome, are constantly communicating and training your immune system. It's the microbiome that's teaching your immune system what is friend and what is foe, what it should attack and what it shouldn't attack, the development of tolerance to things like food antigens and commensal bacteria and environmental particles that you're always breathing in, ragweed and pollen and all of these things that you don't want your immune system reacting to. The tolerance to all of those things are dependent on commensal microbes teaching your immune system not to react to those compounds, right? That building of tolerance is incredibly important to function in the world, because what's as bad or maybe even worse than a non-reactive immune system, meaning one that allows you to get sick often, is one that overreacts to everything, because that leads to sensitivities, intolerances, mast cell activation, histamine intolerance, allergies, asthma, all the way to autoimmune conditions. Right? So the microbiome is the key trainer of the immune system to teach the immune system what to attack and what not to attack. And all of those decisions are made in this mucosal tissue. So having the right diverse microbes is a key component to your immune system functioning the way it is. So it prevents that overreacting and underreacting as well, right? Because when there is a pathogen there, when there is a virus there, when there's something that you want the immune system to go after, it is the microbes that signal to the immune system that, yes, that's something you should go after. There were some fascinating studies that came out in 2020, which was an accumulation of 10 years worth of study on this, where they showed that in sterile mice, so mice that are raised without a microbiome, they have all of their immune components, right? Because all the immune components that are made in the thymus and made in the bone marrow and so on, they have all of those. They infect the mice with the virus, so they inject the virus in. The immune system is there, but the immune system does not react to the presence of the virus. It's like the immune system has no information. It doesn't know what this thing is, and it doesn't know what to do. The moment they introduce a microbiome into that same type of mouse and expose it to the virus, the microbiome sends a signal to the immune system that says, hey, there's a virus here. You got to go after this. Then the immune system responds, right? So there's an immune activation, there's a threshold activation that the microbes in the microbiome provide to the immune system in order to get the immune system to understand and respond. So overacting and underacting are both a consequence of the microbiome not speaking and training the immune system adequately. So imagine all of the disease conditions that are associated with overreaction and underreaction. All of those are a role, all of those are in part driven by the microbiome. The microbiome is also responsible for the development of something called the gut, sorry, the GALT, the gut-associated lymphoid tissue. This is the largest sampling site in your body. This includes areas like the Peyer's patches. This is a little error here. It says Peter's patches. It's not Peter. It's actually a guy named Peyer who discovered them, Peyer. Peyer's patches, which is at the end of your small bowel, the appendix, the lymphoid follicles, and all of these other lymphoid tissue associated with the gut. The development of the gut is in part the responsibility of the microbiome, especially the early microbiome and the early exposure of the microbes. The microbes actually extend the volume and the surface area of the immune tissue that's being developed in your gut, right? Imagine that. So if a baby is born and in the first few years of life, as the immune tissue and all that is developing, if the baby is not exposed to enough microbes, the baby gets an underdevelopment of the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, which is the biggest portion of the baby's immune cells, immune system, right? So the GALT, the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, is dependent on the presence of the microbiome. The microbiome is also a key component to helping the proliferation of T cells and B cells. We know that as our adaptive immune system, that is really important to build long-term protection against things that we encounter over and over again. It also is very important in the production of IgA and secretory IgA. Now, secretory IgA is so important because secretory IgA is a neutralizing antibody that's found in all of your secretory fluids, but it doesn't elicit an inflammatory response, right? Which means that you've got in all of your secretory fluids, so in your tears, in your saliva, in your mucus, in semen, in discharge, all of these things, all of these secretory fluids in the body, you've got IgA, which is an immunoglobulin, and the IgA can have an affinity towards lots of different things. So your body produces this awesome complex array of immunoglobulin A that can bind to and neutralize lots of things that are entering the body: viruses, bacteria, bacterial toxins, environmental particles, all of these things that may cause a problem. The IgA can bind to it, neutralize it, and render it ineffective, that eventually gets sloughed off as layers of your mucus and everything goes out, or as you tear out, as you sweat out, as you urinate, as you defecate, all of those things are removed. But when IgA binds to these things to neutralize them, it doesn't elicit an immune response, right? Which is good. Then you don't feel inflamed and you don't have that inflammatory response that creates all of this symptomology. Now, if you don't have enough IgA, your immune system will make IgE instead, but IgE drives a hypersensitivity reaction. That means if there's something coming into your system and instead of IgA binding to it and neutralizing it, IgE binds to it. What happens when IgE binds to it is IgE activates eosinophils and basophils, which then produce histamine and leukotrienes and all that, and cause massive amounts of inflammation, fever, and other discomfort, right? So you need adequate IgA so that your body doesn't default to IgE, which then comes with it an immune response. IgA doesn't create an immune response. This is why it's the predominant antibody in all of our secretory fluids, and it's the highest volume of antibody being produced in your body because your body is so smart, it knows that we want to be able to neutralize things and neutralize potential threats without causing a profound immunological response every time, because that will be incredibly uncomfortable for the host, right? Imagine every time you ate something, you got a fever and aches and redness and flushing and all of those things. Life would be absolutely miserable and you'd be non-functional, right? But when you have a healthy system, every time you eat, you do get thousands of antigens coming into the body. Many of them are neutralized by IgA and you never even know it, right? But the expression of IgA is dependent on a healthy microbiome. So if you don't have a healthy microbiome, you're not producing enough IgA, which means your body overcompensates by producing IgE. Now all the things that are entering your body are getting bound by IgE, which then elicits an inflammatory response. This is how you become hypersensitive to things, intolerant of things, right? Foods, environmental things, and so on. And this is where another theme is really important, because more often than not, I see people becoming intolerant to certain foods and then they avoid the foods, right? You do an immune test, a sensitivity test, and it tells you you're intolerant to these, eight, nine foods, and then you eliminate them. Or you go through an elimination diet and you do those types of things. The problem with it is the issue here is why are you developing sensitivities to these foods? Not that the foods are sensitive to you, right? And so avoiding the foods doesn't do anything to the underlying mechanisms that are driving the sensitivity, which will simply drive more sensitivities over time and then eventually lead to even more complex immune dysregulation, right? This is why I don't like avoidance as a therapeutic to try to improve a condition. You can avoid certain things for a short period of time, but the goal should be to get those things back into your diet. Right. And when you hear all of these, the online people that are talking about kale is bad for you and, Brussels sprouts are bad for you and, lectins and all of these things, all of that is mechanistic data that isn't really, hasn't really been proven in human studies. And in fact, the opposite has been shown in most human studies. Those plant-based foods and all that that they say is, really bad for you and has anti-nutrients and all of these terminologies, all of those have been shown to be very beneficial for your microbiome, very beneficial for overall health and longevity as well. So be very careful with when you hear about those types of things. Always go back to how do these things impact the microbiome? And generally, the more diverse your diet is, and generally, the more diverse the plant-based component of your diet is, especially the healthier you're going to be, right? Another thing that the microbiome upregulates with regards to the immune system are Treg cells. Treg cells are called regulatory T cells because they regulate unfavorable immune responses, not only in your gut, but throughout your body. But the expression of Treg cells are dependent on a good, healthy, diverse microbiome. So the Treg cells are critical to allow you to tolerate the world around you, because your immune system is supposed to learn what to attack and not to attack. And that part of that learning is through the function of Treg cells. The moment a Treg cell sees an unfavorable immune response, meaning let's say your immune system is going crazy because of ragweed, the Treg cells come along and go, nope. So let's suppress that activity. We don't need to react to that anymore. You need to build tolerance against this so you don't get all of the allergic symptomology and so on, right? That's another very important component of your immune system. So if you have a dysbiotic gut, you have all of those things within your immune system dismantling. The last point here about the cancer therapy, this is just an example of how in certain cancers like non-small cell lung cancer or melanomas, where they use immunotherapy very successfully, they have been able to show that if your microbiome is healthy, the immunotherapy works much better. Immunotherapy, if you're not familiar with cancer, is the use of your own T cells. It's called checkpoint therapy, where they encourage your own T cells to go after the cancer, because T cells naturally go after tumor cells. That's one of their roles that they're supposed to do. And so when you can encourage your own T cells to go after the tumor, what happens is not only does the T cell go after just the tumor, not the surrounding tissue, and does so very effectively, you also get long-term protection against that tumor because now the T cell knows what to look for, right? So immunotherapy can be incredibly successful for certain cancers. Very, good therapy that doesn't create a bunch of side effects like chemotherapy and radiation does. And then it also provides long-term protection against these cancers. And at the end of the day, what the studies are showing is that a healthy, diverse microbiome is important for the immunotherapy to work. So it's just a great example of how the microbiome enables the proper function of the immune system.